How's it going, everybody? It's Woody. It's a lovely afternoon, and you can hear by the acoustics that I'm not recording in my usual place. I'm actually recording in the bathroom because I'm taking a bath right now. So I wanted to record myself completing Lottie Squeaks' Just Because questionnaire. So I printed it out. I'm just relaxing in the tub. It's nice and warm. I've got bubbles, and before I get started, just a quick disclaimer. Guys still like taking baths. I'm one of the people that will admit that freely. I take 5 baths, usually a week, along with my showers, of course, but a few of those a week are of the bubble variety, including today's. So, yeah, I thought I would make sure I'd hip you to that detail as well. I picked Lottie's questionnaire because I was looking for something fun, and since I don't really swear that much, some of the questions are a little bit more of an innocent, jaunty sort of thing, so I thought it would be good to do that as well. So hopefully the audio quality turns out good, otherwise I'll redo it. And yeah, so hopefully you don't hear my stomach growling as well, because I'm pretty hungry, but we'll do okay. All right, here we go. Question 1, if you could change your eye color, what would you change it to? That's a good question. So my eyes are green hazel, and I actually kind of like it because sometimes the sunlight makes the eye color kind of change to be more brown or more green. I kind of think that brown would be better for me. It just kind of goes along with my hair, which is also brown, and my skin complexion, which is a little pale, but also probably more even. Or fair-skinned, I guess, is what I should say. So in the summertime, I would probably want it to be brown. In the wintertime, I would like it to be more green. I do like green eyes. And I'll let my eye preference kind of fluctuate with, like, the person's, like, face. And so when I'm crushing on somebody, I'll look at their eyes and be like, how does your face match your eyes? Or, you know, vice versa. It isn't necessarily just the eye color. It's also you know, the proportionally, like, what looks good, and also their personality. So if they're a little more fiery, I'll go for something more brown or something like that. Speckled eyes are always good. Speckled irises are good. So I like that. All right. Question 2. What's something you hated when you were a kid that you like now? Boy, when I was a kid, I really, really didn't care for salad. I didn't eat salad proper until I was probably like 14. And even then I was like, tons of ranch, tons of cheese, croutons, you know, it wasn't really a salad as much as it was like a vessel for dressing. So, but I would say in the last couple of years, you know, with giving up sugar and trying to eat more healthy, I really love spring mix, and I really love like the non-dressing dressing. So if it's just seriously like a bag of spinach, I will eat that gladly, and I would never have envisioned me doing that when I was a kid. I'm also getting a little bit more open-minded with my vegetable consumption. I don't really like tomatoes or like mushrooms or onions or anything like that, so I don't usually eat those, but I'll eat them if they're in like a really nice dish, or you know, if somebody took the care to like prepare them special. So yeah. So yeah, 3, do you think your personality matches the typical personality for your zodiac sign? I'm a Sag, so I've been told that certainly endlessly creative and giving. I don't know if I identified as a Sag all the way through. I do have more kind of impulsive tendencies, so some of that is, I want to say, like Leo. I don't follow astrology as much in terms of like who I'm compatible with, but I think that, you know, I feel very impulsive, but I'm also a really good listener. So maybe that's what I relate to most when it comes to like the Sagittarius side of things. Being outgoing is definitely one thing, but the caring side doesn't always come across. So 4, if you could mash up any 2 fictional universes to live in, what would they be and why? Ooh, that's a good question. Boy, I really like the movie Blade Runner. I don't know if I want to live in Blade Runner, though, because that was kind of a messed up in a world. I like the future of Blade Runner. I also like the movie Legend, and like the idea of being in a forest that's kind of not just interactive, but you have the all the different things like unicorns and like, I don't know, it's very interesting. So I guess I would probably pick Legend. In this other universe, Little Mako and I, we were talking about Studio Ghibli movies like Kiki's Delivery Service and Princess Mononoke, and one of our mutual favorites is Spirited Away. And I know for those of you guys who are watching, if you're watching me, goodness gracious, you have a show right now. But if you've seen the post, or if you've seen that movie, it's just phenomenal the way they kind of take you to the spirit world. And to live and work in a bathhouse would be super cool, and to kind of cleanse the spirits of their kind of, I don't know what you call it, like demons. That would be pretty cool. So I guess I would say, Spirited Away and Legend. So, yeah. Question 5. If you were a superhero, what would your catchphrase be? Boy, if I was a superhero, it would probably be like something related to hugs, or like, involving like hugs. I'd probably be like Hug Man, or like, Embrace Boy, or something like that. So I think my catchphrase would probably be something related to that, my arms are protecting you, or something like that. That's the horror. I've got to rewrite this. I'm not going to edit it, but I'm trying to think of how I would rewrite it. maybe like arms of love attack, or something, like the arms of love surround you. All right, I don't know. The arms of love embrace boy. I don't know. That's not a very interesting answer. I'm really good at biking, so maybe I'd be bike boy, or like, bike boy wouldn't be bad. And then I could be like, I have spoken, like, because there's spokes on a bike or something. Or like, shifting my gears. I don't know. Bike boy. That's horrible. Question 6. What is your ringtone right now? Do you use custom ringtones for different people? Actually, I do. I have a ringtone from... I have a ringtone from a few of my favorite artists, and I've mentioned them on the board a bunch, but this band, Oteker, I have a ringtone of them. And then I've got another band called Fuck Buttons, which is really good. I don't know if you've checked them out, but they're basically like techno. But I have that ringtone of both, one of the songs of each of those. And then I do have a custom ringtone for my brother, who there's an inside joke that we basically make, and it involves a movie from the 80s. That's where I have to leave it, because... if you're curious, I'll share it with you, but it's a ringtone involving a movie from the 80s. Let's just say that. All right. Question 7. Give us a couple dead celebrities who you feel went before their time. Whew, that's a good question. Do they have to be celebrities? I would say musicians, probably where I'd be at. I think Bowie was big for me. I got really... emotionally, like, upset when David Bowie died, and I was just, like, wrecked. But if you think back further to things like, obviously, like, Heath Ledger is a big one, in terms of acting. He was just a phenomenal actor. And he really, struggled, but at the same time, like, he really shouldn't have died that young. It's just so sad. Let me think. Who else? River Phoenix. That's one of the older ones that you may not have, recognized, but he was really great. Certainly in Stand By Me, again, childhood movies that I grew up in. He was in this movie with Samantha Mathis called, This Thing Called Love, directed by Peter Bogdanovich, I want to say. And it was basically like a country, for those of you guys who lived, or if you're familiar with Nashville, there's a whole country music scene. And in the, like, 80s or 90s, they basically filmed a movie about, like, this girl getting her audition, and she meets this boy, and... It was one of his last movies. It might have actually been his last movie. But It's a phenomenal, like, for me, it's a very subdued, phenomenal movie. There are lots of movies that I like that are like that. Somehow we got back to movies. So if you're interested, go back to the movie questionnaire where I talk for 40 minutes about movies. I didn't bring that movie up, but this thing called Love, super romantic, and River Phoenix, even though he's kind of going through the motions in his life. Sandra Bullock's in it too, actually. But that's a one of a it's a little cheesy, but it's one of many good performances that he did, River Phoenix. And he challenges his when he takes his roles, he challenges the viewer to really enjoy it. So, all right, eight. What's one TV show you think needs to just stop already? That's a tough one. I would probably start with reality TV. And I know that I'm going to get a lot of people who are like critical of that, be like, come on, reality TV's so good. There's elements of it that are good, but then there's also other elements that I could probably watch an hour-long show in 20 minutes and, enjoy it. So Bachelor and Bachelorette, with the way that they kind of stretched it out, I'm going to get summarily kicked for that. But I'm not a big fan of Bachelor and Bachelorette because I think that it's really kind of made it okay for people to be like, oh my goodness, I'm watching this show, and then to find out only like 5, 6 months later that the relationship didn't work out. And that's life for me, like in terms of romance. I don't say like my life is about romances not working out, but more importantly, like to be represented in that way. It's been fun, but I do think like there's, the whole ceremony of it all and the whole pageantry. You can't really do anything different on that show that is gonna make everybody like surprised, I guess, unless of course they stay together and get married and don't get divorced. Maybe that's the fun part of it as well. Who knows? All right. Number nine. Have you ever met any internet friends in person? If so, tell us a memorable first story. Let me think about this. I've never met anybody from the current internet. So like Reddit, I've never met anybody from Reddit. I mean, you definitely have friendships that extend outside of like Reddit, but at the same time, it's like it's friendships, but nobody's close enough to me to where I could go and meet them. And at the same time, I think, and this might just be my opinion, but like it would take me a long time before I could trust people to meet me in person. That aspect of it actually is related to the fact that, I mean, I do broadcast, so people could essentially watch me like 4 days a week if they wanted to. It's just I'm not comfortable with like disclosing, all of that detail as well. But I did meet somebody. This is way back in the day. This is back in high school days, and this is when I was graduating from high school, and the day and night of my graduation, I talked with this girl online and basically made plans to hook up with her that morning after graduation. And it was so weird because I kind of got the sense like she wasn't really, what's the word? Like she wasn't really enthusiastic to meet me, but there was something that she was guarding, and I didn't know what it was, but I was like, feeling kind of low because I hadn't had a girlfriend in high school, and I was like, maybe this will work out. And of course, like, horny boy, you're just like, well, I'm speaking on behalf of all horny men, but you're just like, I gotta hook up, I gotta get laid before I leave high school. So that was my motivation behind basically staying up all night and convincing myself that it was a good idea to meet this person. So she lived in nearish my neighborhood, and yeah, I basically walked as the sun rose over to where she told me she lived, and I didn't have a phone, so like by the time I got there, it's like I had no way of basically contacting her or letting her know that I was there. I walked up to her window, which is also weird. Like I'm gonna sneak into her window, like this is all gonna happen, like covertly or something. And I saw her screen on her window was nailed in. Like nobody can come into this. Like there were actual nails that were driven, like somebody had tried to sneak in before and that they nailed them shut. And so I went into nope mode. I was like, nope. And so I left, and then I got an email that was like, why didn't you come over? I was like, Dude, there were nails on your screen door. I don't think that that would have been a good situation for either of us. I don't want to get stabbed. So, we never met basically, but it weirded me not out enough to basically be like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. So, question 10. Do you usually remember your dreams? That's a good question, actually. I do. For the first 2 minutes I'm up, usually I will remember my dreams. But I think that that's time related, I would say. Sorry, I'm gonna sit up for a second. Time related. So, like, if I'm sleeping for longer than 5 hours, then yeah, I'm definitely gonna remember my dreams. If it's less than that, then it gets a little bit dicier. But sometimes if I'll have an intense or a vivid dream, then I'll remember it. I can remember childhood dreams very, very vividly. And part of that is when I was a kid, I wasn't sex obsessed, but I was very danger and fear of falling obsessed. So I'd have dreams where I'd basically be at the top of buildings and fall, but more danger obsessed. So I kept having this recurring dream, one of many that I had, I'll tell you one of them, where I was in my current town, or the town I grew up in Texas. And there were dinosaurs that were chasing us all over town. I say us because there was a hot girl that was my age, the girl I essentially crushed over, or crushed on, I should say. I didn't crush over her. And the dinosaurs would be chasing us. We would be hiding behind a car, and I'd be like, "We gotta hide away, we gotta hide from the dinosaur." And this fear of like being eaten by a dinosaur. I don't know, Jurassic Park, maybe that was related to it, but this girl kept trying to like kiss me, and like I was like, "No, we have to be, get away from the dinosaurs, and they're gonna get us," that sort of thing. So that dream I still remember to this day. Most of the other dreams, I mean, I'll still obviously remember sex dreams, but they're not as prevalent as like things like I'm falling. And then sometimes I'll get deja vu where in the middle of it, I'll get the chills because I know that deja vu, and it's been already debunked as like it's not really deja vu, it's just something in your timeline blips to where you think that it's happened before, but it just never happened. So it's just like a gap in or a synapse in your thinking. So that's really what it is. So yeah, so that's a good answer, I would say. What's your favorite safe for work subreddit? Question 11. Probably awe, or I really like GIFs. I say GIFs, but GIFs is always funny. I can laugh at some of the stuff that ends up on the front page. I'm a pretty front page Reddit browser, so I'll almost always click the Reddit logo at the top left-hand corner to get back to the front page, and I'll see what's going on in the world. Sometimes that's not the best way to do it, but in terms of algorithms and stuff, my Reddit use is novice at best. So, and that's funny because I also created my own subreddit and I have no idea what I'm doing. So if anybody has any advice on what I should do there, in terms of like how to, post stuff, or maybe like my CSS style sheets, that sort of thing, I don't know. All right. Now it's going to get interesting because I'm naked in the tub, so we'll do our best to get comfortable. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting in the bathtub. All right. Question 12. Have you ever seen a sex toy that made you think, "What the fuck? Why does this exist?" I don't think so. I can. I would say there's probably, and I don't know if you would consider it a toy, but I know that there is like fake cum that you can basically buy and insert into the penis to basically, when you climax, you come more, and or it makes it taste good or something like that. So I mean, certainly for those people who are into that kink, I think like, man, that's a lot of work to go through, like. But I guess there's always, the prep of, getting ready for the moment. So the first time I saw it, I was like, well, I get it if it, I mean, if it tastes different than the way you taste, but man, that's kind of harsh. I would never want like a significant other to come back to me and be like, Hey, could you inject this inside your penis when you're hard? Because I really want to taste whatever it is, icing. I don't even know what it tastes like, but I don't know. I'm also pretty accepting of whatever everybody's kinks are. So it's not really for me. I can't really say like, why does this exist? Because there are people out there that like it, you know. I do think though that they need to make, and maybe they already have it, but they need to make like. I've been getting really fascinated with tentacles lately and consenticles and stuff. They need to make like that in some sort of a kit. And my go-to is like, you know, they have those really big like gummy snakes, and there's no way to make it like hot or to, I say hot like temperature-wise hot. You could probably throw it in the microwave for 15 seconds, but the consistency is going to drop instantly. But there's got to be a way that you could maybe coat it with like, I don't know, something slippery, or you know, without, I don't know if you can do it without staining the bed, but at the same time, it's like maybe that's hot, you know. Why do you have these weird red stains on your bed? Oh, that's from our tentacles. Okay. All right. Question 13. If you could make a strip version of any game, what game would it be, and what would the take off your clothes when rule be? Ooh. Take off your clothes when. Me think about that. Because I didn't read these beforehand. I kind of like maybe like sexy Scrabble or something. I'm a super dork. So if you like, maybe if you spell two words at once, or if you get more than a certain set amount of points. Certainly, like double word score, triple word score, letter scores. That's always fun. Scrabble's fun, but I would say too, like, don't just make it about taking off clothes. Maybe about taking on or putting on clothes, or doing sort of commands. Like if you get a double word score, then you get to spank the other person, or like, you know, things like that. So I like that. So Scrabble is my short answer, and that's the dorkiest answer ever. So congratulations, I win America. Okay. Question 14. Would you rather have sex in zero gravity or while suspended over a 1,000-foot drop? Definitely suspended. The fear of being like the fear of heights. It's very real. But it's also very kind of like liberating in a way. Zero gravity to me is somewhat, I mean, the excitement for me is being able to feel like you're floating, but I get the sense like the rest of the place around you wouldn't move. So that wouldn't be very exciting to me. If you were in zero gravity hovering above the earth, then I would choose that in a heartbeat. But the fact that you're probably going to be in like a space shuttle or something, like that doesn't, I mean, space sex sounds interesting, but like, I don't know. I just think about the logistics of it all. Like, how do I move? Like, I'd have to probably use like handles for leverage, and I just think a 1,000-foot drop would be awesome because you can kind of like soak it in. And even better, like when you're about to climax, you can like bungee off of that drop at the end and just be like, my heart is going. But you probably have a stroke or something. So, had a stroke. Funny. All right. So. Question 15, on a scale of 1 to 10, how close to orgasm can you get without touching yourself? I've come before without touching myself. I mean, numerous times. I'm not an HFO guy, but I'm definitely a denial guy. So to answer that question accurately, it's definitely a mood sort of thing. It depends though. I would say certainly stimulation is important. If I've never touched myself, if I'm just thinking about it, I could probably like get turned on, but you know, you have to be of a certain mood or moment or mindset to do it. So I think that's the same for everybody, but maybe to a certain degree different for other people. So, but I would say sometimes 10 and sometimes 4, and I don't even think 1 exists. I mean, I'm sure I get, you know, I get turned on by goofy stuff, so which we'll not get into in this questionnaire unless it comes up later. All right, question 16. Would you rather receive a striptease or rip your partner's clothes off? I've never been a ripper. I've never been in like a, I want to, you know, rip your clothes off and, you know, take advantage of you. I'm not necessarily the dom kind of guy. But I'm also a giver, which is strange. So it doesn't ever play itself out like I want to rip your clothes off and I'm going to have my way with you, or I'm going to, I would be your private dancer. And that being said, I've never really experienced the kind of striptease side of things. I would love to experience it someday. I know that sounds goofy or that I'm inexperienced, but I tend to be a little bit more interactive. So part of the appeal for that is, being able to receive without necessarily having to worry to give, and constant reassurance that this is what I, either deserve or, pine for is probably where I'd be at. I don't know, maybe I'll try ripping somebody's clothes off someday. Maybe that'll do something. But then right after, I'd rip a blouse open and I'd snap the bra off or tear the fabric. And then right after, I'd be like, I'm sorry, here, I'll buy you another one. I'm so self-conscious when it comes to that. I'm really sorry. All right. Question 17. What's something you do during sex that you honestly can't control? Well, I'm very kissy when it comes to sex, but I also like closing my eyes and kind of savoring all of the sensations. So my eyes are constantly closed. I'm a very observant person, but I'm not visually observant. I'm physically observant and I'm emotionally observant. So I'll touch with my hands and I'll kiss with my lips, but I won't look necessarily with my eyes at what it's doing. I'll just feel what it's doing inside and I'll kind of internalize it, and it actually turns me on a little bit more. But yeah, I guess I would say too, in terms of honestly can't control, that also depends on how strong I climax, because I've written about it, how I basically orgasm in colors or in bright flashes, and my stronger orgasms basically result in numbed throat and teeth, and even to the point where if I'm just playing solo, I will get the best way to describe it, rigor mortis on my hands, basically. You can hear them right now. It's just my hand. But it'll just get clenchy around me, and I'm just going to be I can't even move right now. My legs are frozen. Well, my legs don't get frozen. My legs, tremble and shake and whatnot. But it isn't even full body. It's just, focused in my neck and my teeth. And then the wave starts to make its way from, from my pelvis down, through my feet. So things start to go numb and I start to breathe. I can control my, breath and moans, and I can even to an extent control my climaxes as well. It's just, the other things leading up to the O that I get a little, uncontrollable about. So, but it's never gotten me into trouble, which is a good thing. I mean, it's always, for me, it's always been kind of a boost to the experience. So, yeah. Question 18. Tell us about a sex dream you can remember having. Well, I already told the dinosaur story. So I'm going to tell you one that is also from my childhood that is kind of related to growing up and first days of school. This is way back when. I'll instantly date myself, even as my stomach grumbles. I was daydreamed about being a teacher in front of students in the first day of school and teaching these students and stuff. And almost every day before the first day of school, I'd have my clothes laid out at the foot of my bed and I'd be laying in bed and I'd just be okay, I'm teaching you American history. This is Mr. Woody. And, we're going to get to work. And I kept thinking I had the best philosophy for teaching, which I don't know if I do. I know I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I love children, teaching children and educating them, but I don't know if I have the guts to be a teacher. I'd rather be a mentor or something. So, but one year I was really into heavily into watching the show Friends. So like the first, not even the first season, the second, third, and fourth season. So like right, you know, when Ross and Rachel were starting to get connected. So, and I think I kind of dipped out after that when it started to get a little bit more, not weird, but just like, I don't know why I stopped watching it. Probably because I moved, but more importantly, like it just, after Ross and Rachel got together, I was also like, well, they're together, then they're broken up. And then I was like, oh, they're just going to keep doing this. So anyway, so yeah, so I had the same dream about teaching the year before I started, or that year before I started school, and I probably was in high school at the time. But instead of being in front of a classroom, I was at Central Perk, and like, you know, Rachel was working there. Oh man. And Jennifer Aniston, if you're listening, I apologize. Because it was a dream, but I'm pretty sure I took care of myself in reality a few times. But yeah, so I was teaching, for some reason I was teaching in front of Central Perk. There was a blackboard there and everything, and then of course the music started and you're just like, oh man. But so I was like, I was on the sitcom, I was like a guest star or something. And I think it ended with me, like, you know, finding some time to make out on the couch. But that was also too, I mean, I wasn't super young at that time. I was old enough to know what sex was, but certainly it was like more than, more than interesting to watch the show every Thursday from then on. So yep, Friends. All right, question 19. What's the longest single sexual session you've ever had? Whew. Well, if you include foreplay and refractory time and, I don't know, maybe small talk counts. I mean, I would say not to an extent. I'm a big small talker in, like, Afterglow. So, like, there have been times where I've just been super chatty and even been shushed a few times to be quiet, so that they can go to sleep. And she's like, stop being so loud, I'm trying to sleep, I'm ready to go to bed now. Or they'll usually do it very subtly. They'll like do the yawn, and I'll be like, oh, okay, do you want to go to bed, that sort of thing. I'm also a very like tactile person, so I get to be very like cuddly and stuff. Oh yeah, I gotta answer the time. I would say probably like 3, maybe 4 hours. And I think in the course of that session, I probably came like 4 times, maybe 4 or 5 times. I think 4 times. So, I mean, I can't account for how many times she came, but, certainly it was fun, you know, and it wasn't necessarily even that it was like, really like risque, but it was very intense, the circumstances, and you know, certainly that we were tired, but more importantly, like I felt really comforted by the fact that it was going so well. And I probably also denied myself, I'm a big denier, so I probably waited for like 4 or 5 days, which means that, you know, it was just, it was a long time coming. So yeah. All right, question 20. If you could reenact one sexy audio you've done with a partner, which audio would it be? Well, I've actually recorded one. Once I recorded with an ex-partner of mine, and I'm going to sound horrible for it, but like we had talked briefly about it, and I think like before we got started, she knew that I was planning on doing something related to recording, but I didn't exactly tell her. And I think I saw her eyes see the recorder when I had it set up. And then I think that the actual session was probably heightened as a result of it. So I guess I would say like, you know, the joke is that, you know, real sex, real orgasms, that sort of thing. But more importantly, like, I kind of like the spontaneity of having a partner who's game for that and who would, you know, genuinely just react in the moment and be surprised. So I don't know if I would reenact that one as much as, you know, kind of,
I would probably disclose more regularly what was basically going to take place, and then, like, you know, make that a little bit more of a priority. Because I think that, like, couple sex is a healthy thing, not to share, but to have for each other, you know, and, you know, to be able to be with that other person. I mean, I'm saying that as a single person now, but, like, you know, if I do have a girlfriend, I would want her to be open-minded about expressing her sexuality, and more importantly, like, to be willing to share that with me or with each other is kind of what I like as well. Now, in terms of what I've recorded, I haven't really recorded much yet. I've written a few things as well. There's one script I wrote called Stretching the Core, which I really, really enjoyed. And you might also know me. I don't know if I've disclosed it, but if you're 35 minutes in this, then I'm going to tell you anyway. I've certainly written, like, my share of role plays and stuff. So I've been on other subreddits, and I have a history, basically. Not just with Reddit, but in life, basically, of being generally, you know, privately sexy when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I wrote this script called Stretching the Core, which is basically me at the gym. Not at the gym, but after I come back from the gym. I bike a lot. So when I come home from biking, I'm so, like, dripping with sweat, and, like, my muscles are just exhausted, and I'm drained, and physically, like, I also feel physically, like, you know, powerful and, like, strong, like I'd attack the world, and you know, sometimes it's resulted in me just, like, obviously, like, taking off all my clothes, even before I take my shower, just laying down, sweating in the bed, just being like, I need this, you know, and, like, I want this, you know. So, the script I wrote was similar to that. Instead of me coming home and being alone, I will come home and then she is waiting for me. And, you know, she's basically planned out this thing where, like, you know, she doesn't want me to take a shower. She needs me right now. And so the script is written in that vein. So that's hot to me, and I would want that. So I have to be honest, too, like, I probably listened to a bunch of different audios as well, but I think listening to, like, couple scenarios or circumstances regarding other people's performances, it's tougher for me to do, because I tend to get a little bit more self-conscious about what I would do in the circumstance. But I think that, let me see here. I guess I would say, I'm probably pretty conservative when it comes to that. If there were certain kinks that I would, you know, like, jump into, I don't know if they're, like, you know, hand job, you know, audios, or probably are, but more importantly, like, I don't know, like, even if it was a denial audio, I'm cool with that. Just make a version that I'm not denying myself, and then I'm good. All right, last question, and this has been 40 minutes of fun. What are a few things you usually end up doing right after sex? I drink a huge glass of water. I typically fluff the pillow. Almost always, I will put on my underwear, and I think that that is more kind of a self-conscious thing to do. Like, I usually sleep in underwear, at least underwear, and usually only underwear. But more importantly, like, I don't even necessarily clean up, but, like, the underwear kind of serves as, like, the protector, I guess, from sexy. And so, not to say, like, when sexy time is over, I'm done being sexy, but, like, I'll pop them on and I'll just feel a little bit more secure, I guess, in what has taken place. So maybe I'm more sheltered. The only time I don't put it on is, like, when my brain is completely fried or gone, or if I'm so exhausted after, which, again, usually never happens. Sex makes me very hyper, so I'm almost, like, hyper attentive to what's going on in the world. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Did you enjoy yourself? And do you want something to drink? And do you want any colors? And, you know, I'm borderline irritating when it comes to that. Sometimes my mind starts to wander too, so I'll daydream a lot after sex. Like, I will get very conceptual, and sometimes conversations, again, like I mentioned before, spiral into like me just thinking good things, but me just kind of thinking and daydreaming about different elements different elements of the partnership that, and the moment that we just shared, you know, like, what did I like about it? What, you know, not even like my mind runs to like, what do I need to get grocery wise in the morning? Or what didn't I do? Like, it's really the best, like, not mitigator, but it helps level set the playing field when it comes to what your brain is thinking, you know? And I hate to say that because like, you never want to see it as like definable, because it can be different things for different people. And certainly in my life, you know, when I'm done, or I say when I'm done, but like, you know, once I have that release, then the tension usually goes away. So I feel a little free to like be myself. I'm also creative, so I tend to like not feel as creatively expressive once I've come. It's very like satisfying, but you know, like working on music requires a lot of focus and patience. And since I'm a musician, like I'll frustrate myself and make my fingers purple trying to get these guitar chords down or trying to like, you know, arrange a song. And you know, when it comes to sex or when it comes to like even with a partner, like there, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, there's a lot of comfort in that connection that you don't really have to worry about it. So yeah, so that's my answer. And Lottie, thank you very much for this survey. I'm surprised people, I don't know if people have ever said that it's like a squeakshanaire, or like if they use your username to be like Lottie Squeaks or whatever, but now you've heard that, and so chances are that I've either made you deaf or that I've weirded you out. So especially since I did it naked in the bathtub. So yeah. Thanks again for listening. And I'm going to do more questionnaires. This is going to be, if you're listening this far, then goodness gracious, you're bored. But I've got a few more questionnaires. I've got songs. I've got more more sweet and not so sweet stuff in the works as well. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Feel free to click around, and not to do an ad for my subreddit, but you can subscribe to Woody and I'll share pictures there. And lots of fun stuff. So thanks again. I'm going to get my bath on and I will talk with everybody